From Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, these are the words that immediately precede in his letter the famous love poem, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love," and so on. It's as though these sentiments lead us to an understanding of what Paul means by love. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." The unique feature of Christianity as a monotheistic tradition is that there is one God in our faith, just as there is in Judaism and Islam and many other traditions. But this one God has three personae, or manifestations, a paradox. Not a polytheistic, many gods to do all the things that gods are required to do in relation to humankind, but one God in three manifestations, presumably such that when we are especially in need of forgiveness, we reread the Christmas story and the Good Friday story and the resurrection story, and God, the human being, the Redeemer, relates to us where we are. When we are awestruck by the power of God's creation, just coming into town, God relates to us as the Father or the Creator. And perhaps in retrospect, when we wonder, how did we ever get through that? Well, it was God the Holy Spirit, three personae, three equal partners in the one God in whom we believe and to whom we stake our faith. The intriguing part to me is the diversity within the Trinity. There is diversity in the Trinity. And each of the components of the God who guides us and who sustains us is of equal value. There's no hierarchy on the Trinity. God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier exists on a plane, not a hierarchy. I think there are interesting implications for that insight in the way we live together. Diversity is not hierarchical in the Holy Trinity. We are taught that diversity is hierarchical in much of what else we do. I think of a story told by one of my students now many years ago, an African-American woman who, by chance, was of uncommonly dark skin tone. And we were talking about issues of diversity in the sociology class. And it was an evening class, and she said, "I'm a registered nurse. I've been a floor nurse for 10 years at Covenant Hospital, and I'm used to being the charge nurse because I'm the RN typically on my night shift." Well, she was taking my class to continue and finish her work in the Bachelor of Science program in nursing, ultimately with the hope of becoming a nurse practitioner with a master's degree. Very highly trained, very intelligent young woman. And in the course of completing her study, she also, in addition to her regular work at Covenant Hospital, where she was a supervising RN, took on other shifts at other hospitals in the area, UMC and some of the smaller hospitals in the surrounding communities, essentially as might a substitute teacher, picking up an extra shift here and there for extra money. And then she said, "Invariably, when I go out on a sub job, everybody thinks I'm the aide, not the RN, because my skin is so dark." And at that point, she began to cry. And the punchline to the story is, from her point of view, and she said it just this way, the lighter you are, the better you are. Which is seemingly absurd, is it not? Especially paradoxically with all the money we spend on tanning booths and going to the beach trying to get darker. Distinctions become hierarchical in our world. It goes to the heart of the debate over how a society should be run most successfully, characterized by two parallel sort of academic terms, assimilation or pluralism. Assimilation is the often practically useful idea that when you're in a new situation, go along to get along, fit in, do whatever it takes. It's the sort of melting pot theory. And if you push it hard enough, you have what a character that Warren Beatty played in a movie some years ago, who gave us this insight, that maybe the way to solve the problems inherent in a diverse culture is, and these were his words, we should all just keep mating until we're the same color. I don't know if that'll help my friend the registered nurse anytime soon, but it does create an interesting notion. If we were all the same color, that would solve some problems, but create others. Or if we all believed the same thing, or acted in the same way, it would solve some problems, but again, create others. The parallel or alternative to this is what's called pluralism. That is, a culture in which differences exist, but they are all regarded with more or less equal value. In other words, we take the hierarchy out of the differences. That's a hard thing to do. If we are to pay attention to the scriptures and even take seriously the doctrine of the Trinity, we would begin to ponder what it would be like to take a more pluralistic approach to the way we see our world and especially see other people who look, act, and believe even different things than do we. It's intriguing to me, this notion of the diversity in the Trinity. God, for reasons known only to God, and he or she apparently didn't have to do it this way. That is, to make God's self manifest in the person of Jesus or the presence of the Spirit. Other traditions don't do this. God presumably wanted a way to meet us where we are and accept us in our differences. The four Gospels tell the same story of Jesus the Redeemer. Why do we need four versions of the same story? Intriguing. Mark's Gospel is the earliest of the four. It was written first, and it's essentially a just-the-facts kind of story. It tells us what we need to know, who did what to who, and for what purpose, end of story. Matthew took that work, added other material to it, and came up with what is sometimes referred to as the Jewish Gospel. It's a gospel designed to tell the same story, but in ways that appeal in particular to converted Jews. In other words, telling the same story with a different level of diversity. Luke's gospel takes both of those stories, the original just the facts, the nuanced to the Jews, and adds the Good Samaritan and many other stories that become what is known as the universal gospel. We have the story, the Jewish version of the story, and now the go and make disciples of all nations story, the universal gospel, according to Luke, reaching out to Gentiles and Samaritans. Same story, told with a level of diversity. And I'd have to spend the next month dealing with John's gospel. John's gospel was the one that was written last. I've often said that it tells us the story of Jesus' life in much the same way that Gone with the Wind tells us the story of the end of the Civil War. It's a work of literature. It's poetic. It's in some ways inscrutable, but eminently fascinating. Again, a different way of telling the same story. And they all exist on the same plane. We have four gospels designed to tell the same story to people who need to hear it in different ways to get the point. The diversity in the Trinity, the diversity in the way we tell the story of Jesus' life, give us an opportunity to ponder what it would be like to take differences out of the hierarchy. I was out in front of the house the other day and a pickup truck pulled up with a trailer full of lawn equipment. And the guy driving the pickup was lost. The streets in our neighborhood do funny things. And so he had a piece of paper with the address that he needed to find and he asked me to help him find it. And the conversation was difficult. Because, well, actually his English was better than my Spanish. Which, with all the years I've been in school, in retrospect, I found it somewhat embarrassing, in a way, that we couldn't make this work any better. But between hand signals and pointing at numbers and so on. And I've been thinking about that. You know, the assimilation idea suggests that to go along, to get along, English is the official language of the United States. Fair enough. But would it kill us to learn a little Spanish? Would it hurt the kids of immigrants who learn English while learning math? Would it hurt the other kids in the class to learn a little Spanish? Maybe from them? How intriguing would that be? And so on. I learned German in high school. It was an elective. It didn't help me talking to the lawn guy. The essence of what I'm trying to say today is captured in a poem that was written in 1951. Interestingly enough, many years before the Civil Rights Movement, many years before the Voting Rights Act. Written by Willa Hudson and Alfred Burt, a poem that has been set to music called Some Children See Him. And when a recording of these thoughts are posted on our website, next to it will be a link to Andy Williams' version of this Christmas song. Okay, it's June, but why not? Some children see him lily white, the baby Jesus born this night. Some children see him lily white with tresses soft and fair. Some children see him bronzed and brown, the Lord of heaven to earth come down. Some children see him bronzed and brown with dark and heavy hair. Some children see him almond-eyed, this Savior whom we kneel beside. Some children see him almond-eyed with skin of yellow hue. Some children see him dark as they, sweet Mary's son to whom we pray. Some children see him dark as they, and ah, they love him too. The children in each different place will see the baby Jesus' face like theirs, but bright with heavenly grace. If God allows us to see him or her in ways that draw us together, might we ponder the world we might leave to our children if we began to take those hierarchical differences and put them on the same plane, as is the diversity in the Trinity, as is the diversity in the way children see Jesus. We gather around one table and we receive bread and wine, unfermented wine in this case, differently than in some places, but all designed to draw us together as one body in which, within which, what's different about us contributes to the richness of our ministry. We don't need to be the same color. We don't need to, in fact, it would hurt us probably if we did whatever it took to become the same color. Because the world God created seems designed to be diverse. Adios. Amen.